would have been my late father, Charles Caput's birthday. He would have been 108 years old today. And I believe in heaven he's really pulling for us here in America, the Christian remnant. I'd like to read to you from Psalm 83. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zebigay, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmoniac, who said, Let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art most high over all the earth.
This is Lou Cavalry for the Divided Kingdom. WorldNet Daily, February 26, 2018, posted by Odd Moore. Broward deputy works for Muslim Mafia. A leader of the Council on American, that is, American-Islamic Relations in South Florida also serves as a deputy for the Broward County Sheriff's Office, which is under fire for its handling of the Valentine's Day school shooting, in which 17 people were killed. Azar Hamzy is the Regional Operations Director for the Florida Chapter of CARE, that is, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, whose national office was named an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas funding scheme and was designated a terrorist organization by the United Arab Emirates. How then, asked anti-Sharia activist Joe Kaufman in a 2015 column for Front Page magazine, how then is it possible that one of CARE's leaders, Nizar Hamzy, could be considered for a position at one of the most prominent sheriff's offices in the United States? Support WND's legal fight to expose the Hamas front in the U.S., the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Hamzy was caught on video outside a fundraiser in 2010 by then-British MP George Galloway, repeatedly refusing to denounce Hamas. CARE's parent organization was founded in 1993 in the United States by operatives of Hamas, the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. In June 2007, Hamzy covered for his cousin, Abdulaziz Bilal Hamzy, after the relative murdered the woman, running her over with a minivan and dragging her body for several miles down the road, scattering her body parts. The cousin then attempted to flee the U.S. to the family's native Lebanon. Nizar Hamzy was quoted by media saying that while his cousin made some bad decisions, he may have been a little threatened. In a column last November for the Gainesville Sun, Hamzy dismissed the threat of Islamic terrorism. He said the shootings in recent years in Las Vegas, Orlando, Blacksburg, Virginia, San Bernardino, California, and many other places are, quote, horrific and deadly examples of mass killings that were committed by criminals that come from various ethnicities and backgrounds, unquote. And he went on to say, The overemphasis on Muslim threats and the vilifying of Islam has made us less safe and has misdirected our much-needed safety resources to play a political chess game, unquote. Kaufman noted that through Hamzy's leadership, Broward Sheriff Scott Israel, who was facing an investigation into his handling of the Parkland school shooting, visited several area mosques and Islamic leaders with radical ties. In January 2015, Israel posed for photos with Sofian Abdulaziz Zakut, a supporter of Hamas. Zakut, just 6 months earlier, organized a pro-Hamas rally co-sponsored by CARE Florida in downtown Miami, in which participants shouted, quote, "We are Hamas," and "Let's go, Hamas," unquote. Following the rally, Zakut wrote, "Thank God every day we conquer the American Jews like our conquest over the Jews of Israel." During Ramadan that year, Hamzi joined Sheriff Israel at the Darul Uloom Mosque in Pembroke Pines. At a gathering of Muslims there, Hamzi praised Sheriff Israel as a champion for the Muslim community, noting he helped Muslim business owners who had been targeted in a financial scheme. In December 2015, Hamzi went to Tampa to perform, quote, "active shooter training," unquote, at the Dar es Salaam Mosque, which is associated with three U.S.-based Muslim groups on the United Arab Emirates terror list. With a gun in each hand, Hamzi simulated firing at his audience during the training. The mosque said the need for the training was motivated by fear of a backlash against Muslims following the San Bernardino attack that month. Claire Lopez, a strategic policy and intelligence expert with the Center for Security Policy and a former CIA operations officer, commented in a recent tweet, quote, "Maybe if Broward County Deputy Sheriff Hamzi had trained his own officers better instead of the Muslim Brotherhood, more Florida kids would be alive today," unquote. Coffin pointed out that Darul Uloom Mosque in Pembroke Pines has ties to a number of high-profile Al-Qaeda terrorists. Among them are dirty bomber Jose Padilla, or Padilla, I'm not sure how that is pronounced, who was sentenced to 21 years in prison for providing material support to terrorists and for conspiracy to murder, kidnap, and maim individuals overseas. The late Al-Qaeda Global Operations Chief, Adnan al-Shukrijuma, was a prayer leader at the mosque. Shukrijuma was indicted in 2010 for plotting suicide bombings in New York City's subway system. His father, who taught classes at Darul Uloom, was a translator for the spiritual leader of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, the blind Sheikh Omar Abdul Rahman.
This is Elizabeth Caverly. One shock after another. Not only is there the CAIR, C-A-I-R, Muslim connection to the sheriff's office Lou read about, but we told you earlier how Houston TV station KOHU suppressed Matt Mizell, the sportscaster's interview, the one with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas high school student Alexa Mednick. And she told of walking alongside Nikki Cruz, the alleged shooter, talking while hearing other shooters. Mizell was, after being blocked, forced to put out the truth on his own Twitter account. Houston station KPRC also reported possible multiple shooters. Now, InfoWars videos, including the KOHU clips of the eyewitnesses telling about the multiple shooters, they're being surreptitiously removed. A Good Morning America interview in which something, quote, slipped out by a student is quickly gone. The Drudge Report has described a Broward County law official as saying, "I've been told to stand down. I could have saved lives." An ominous campaign to end all of our First Amendment rights. This initial attempt at removing InfoWars completely, I believe, these initial video reports, in this case, in this situation, this does not bode well, and we need to pay attention. Even esteemed author and public figure Dr. Jerome Corsi, he has had books time after time on the New York Times bestseller list. He had a wonderful book about the North American Union some years back. Dr. Jerome Corsi's investigative reports have not been spared. His channel was frozen. Strong allegations of a CNN campaign to shut down InfoWars should only drive all of us to stronger, deeper prayer and renewed commitment to keep and protect our constitutional right for freedom of speech. Some of the new recountings leaked from the high school students, and this is not those students, those few students from the drama or acting club. No, these are other students. It includes the following eye-openers. A helicopter arrived, and perhaps as many as 50 police cars pulled up, yet there was a police stand down. The police never went in. Men dressed in army-type camo, sort of like uniforms, were inside. The SWAT team was putting bodies into body bags. As noted before, there were reports of multiple shooters. The headline, Trump suggests new gun measures as gun owners talk betrayal, appeared in the AP on Sunday, February 25th. Now, we need to pay attention to this.
Trump said assault rifles should be kept out of the hands of anyone under 21. He endorsed more stringent background checks for gun buyers and ordered his Justice Department to work toward banning rapid-fire bump stock devices. Gun Owners of America issued an alert earlier this week, urging its 1.5 million members to call the White House and, quote, tell Trump to oppose all gun control, unquote. The organization said anti-gun activists, aided by congressional Democrats, are trying to convince the president he should, quote, support their disastrous gun control efforts, the message said. And sadly, it may be working. Michael Hammond, legislative counsel for the Virginia-based group, said the organization doesn't hesitate to oppose Republican incumbents and candidates whom it deems not sufficiently pro-gun, motivating gun owners to go to the polls, not campaign funding, is a source of the gun lobby's strength, according to Hammond. He said, quote, when they feel gun ownership is threatened, then they're going to respond as if that's the preeminent issue. Paul Paredes, who owns a gun store in Colorado Springs, was enthusiastic about letting teachers carry firearms on campus. But he was incredulous about the notion of outlawing bump stocks and increasing the age requirement for buying a long gun. Paredes said, quote, Trump can propose anything he wants, but it's got to get through two houses of Congress and the Supreme Court, unquote. Colorado has been a test case for the politics of gun control and the ability of gun groups to retaliate against those who vote for it. In 2013, after the Aurora Theater shooting was followed by the elementary school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, Colorado's Democrat-controlled legislature passed a package of gun restrictions, including universal background checks and a ban on magazines that hold more than 15 bullets. Gun control advocates hope to roll the program out to the other states after showing a libertarian western state could pass the bills. But then the NRA backed successful recalls of two Democratic state lawmakers who backed the legislation. The momentum ended. Democrats won back those seats in the 2016 election. Still, the message has lingered. Democrats have not proposed any major gun legislation since the recalls. There are an estimated 55 million gun owners in the United States, according to a 2016 national survey conducted by Northeastern and Harvard universities.
But now we've had President Trump go to the governors. So now I believe we have something like the fox, El Hussein, is outside the chicken house, and he is really ready. He's loaded for bear. But the young chickens inside are going to be strapped down. They're not going to be permitted. The ones that are under 21, they're not going to be able to defend themselves when Al Hussein comes. Now, in view of this Muslim Brotherhood connection, care of the Broward County deputy and the very extreme cordiality of Sheriff Israel to this Muslim connection and all these mosques, I think we have to get a fuller picture of the treasonous perfidy in the United States. It's very important, and we're going to expose again some things that are very important for you to tell others about. And it's very important that this program grow, not for our sake, but for the sake of our children, our cousins, our nieces, our nephews, your grandchildren. You are at a point in life when you're not too far away, many of you listeners, from standing before the great judge. And when he says, what have you done with your life? I was afraid. I never signed a note to the divided kingdom. I didn't want to. And that's not criticizing some of you who maybe are in extreme circumstances and you need to stay anonymous. We're not doing that. We're just talking to those who are apathetic and never want to make any kind of a wave, never want to pray for our country to stay free, never want to do a tap for your generation that will come after you. No, we are pleading for all of you to help us if you can. You can send contributions. We can't take checks directly, but you can mail a little cash, or you can write a check to WWCR, the wonderful shortwave company that you hear all over the world. And you can certainly go online to hear us on WWCR.com as well. You can hear us on the shortwave 4.840 megahertz Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also hear us on Liberty Works Radio Network. We had a letter from someone, and there's a little confusion. We're not on Liberty Radio Network. Apparently, there's some language and some stuff going on that network that we would never associate ourselves with. No, we're on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. And there are good people in that network, like Pastor Ernie Sanders and some of the archives of people like Alex Jones and Catherine Albrecht. It's a very good network. I think the gentleman who does the Institutes on the Constitution, I think that's there. There are a lot of good people on LWRN.net, and you can hear us there. If you have a smartphone, you can get an app to hear it at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Mondays, repeating at 11 p.m. And throughout the week, you can look at their website, LWRN.net. You will see some other programs from our archives later in the week. So now, what we're saying is, we thank you for some letters of encouragement. One of you has a service dog. What a dear little dog that is. Very inspirational letter, commending us also on not using foul language. And we do hope that some of our other compatriots will kind of clean up their act, because some of them are doing such vitally important work with their bigger patriot programs than we have. Now, to get into the heart of this kind of a Trojan horse, everywhere around us in America, we have this radical Islam influence coming. You heard Captain Darrell Eberhardt talk about how these storefronts begin, and they have a certain word that they put up, and soon it's a mosque. Pretty soon it's a mosque. Now, to really look into all this further, we have to now go to Ian Bremmer's Time Magazine column for February 5th, 2018. And his headline is, Turkey Charges into Syria, Threatening Its Alliance with Russia. And here's his first part of his paragraph. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan isn't happy with the West. He's angry at the Trump administration because it refuses to extradite Fethullah Gulen, a former preacher now living in Pennsylvania, whom Erdogan accuses of treachery and treason. And, of course, the article by Ian Bremmer goes on in a broader geopolitical look to say that Erdogan is upset with the U.S. working with the separatist Kurds, and he's also upset with the EU for condemning his human rights record and refusing Turkey's bid to join the European Union. And apparently, both the U.S. and the Russians want Erdogan's restraint. They don't want this conflict there with the Kurds because he has launched a ground assault on the Kurds. Erdogan wants Bashar Assad out of Syria, but of course, Bremmer says, quote, Russia considers Assad its most important Middle East ally. Now, the aspect we are most interested in here, domestically in America, as we all try to live our lives in freedom, is that first paragraph I read about the Trump administration refusing to extradite Fethullah Gulen from Pennsylvania to Turkey. God's judgment has not yet fallen fully on America. We believe he is watching carefully as some progress is being made in the hearts and minds of Americans beginning to turn away from abortion, yet the cup of her sins is ever filling since legalized same-sex marriage came into being. writer and evangelist Bree Keaton spoke of the deluge of sharks that were coming near shore just preceding 9/11. Pastor Jonathan Kahn's book, The Harbinger, revealed that Ground Zero was at the site where Washington led his first cabinet to church to pray a blessing on the new nation. And there was a tree planted there, a special kind of an evergreen tree, and it was destroyed at the time of Ground Zero. And they planted a new tree, and it had a symbolic name, something about America, and it did not thrive. It died. And Kahn's book showed very unforgettably how Isaiah 9:11, note the striking numbers, 9:11, applied now too with our modern lawmakers. They were bragging, as did the ancient Israelites, that even though the bricks had fallen, they would build better and bigger than ever before. And unwittingly, these political figures were speaking this prophecy of judgment. They too would build bigger and better after 9/11 in America. And so we saw this kind of a hubris, this kind of an insolent rebellion against God. There wasn't repentance. We didn't fall on our faces very long here in America after the 9/11 events. No, we had politicians. We had Tom Daschle, and then we had John Edwards, who was the presidential candidate, as you recall. Both of them spoke in public about we would build bigger, and they quoted 9/11 about these building these trees and all of the cypresses and all of that. And now we have President Donald Trump calling for a resplendent military parade, even as our country is being infiltrated and changed totally by the radical Islam members being welcomed and ensconced. What's the real truth on Gulen, Lou?
This is from Crescent Moon Rising by Paul L. Williams.
And we want to point out that this is a very, very important book. And as Captain Daryl Eberhardt, who gave it to us, said, you can go to Barnes & Noble and you can find it. And again, if you ever never heard these things, you're going to be really shocked. We have a shadow government, as Al Cuppett said, and the shadow government is running this Islamic takeover worldwide. The New World Order, who they are, we can't tell you all of them, but we have the EU players, Claude Juncker, others. I believe one of them died, the UN's Peter Sutherland died some weeks back. So, you know, we're going to be on Earth not too long, any of us. It's just like a vapor, gone. And our lives must count, because when you think about what President Trump said he wanted his great-grandson to be able to be in the fight, he didn't want the artificial intelligence to be ruling everything. Now, let's find out about this secret, clandestine Muslim influence right there in that state I came from, Western Pennsylvania. I could have never realized that there was something like this, Lou.
The New Diaspora. By 1980, Muslim Turks started to migrate to the United States at the rate of 2,000 a year. Many came in search of educational and occupational opportunities. By 2009, the annual rate increased to 7,000, and the total number of native-born Turks within the country reached 440,000. In October 2010, the newly arrived Turks opened Brooklyn's largest mosque in Brighton Beach. These Muslim immigrants and refugees consisted mostly of professionals, including engineers, economists, and teachers, whose numbers tended to increase, while the number of incoming doctors was decreasing due to a series of new qualifications requested by American medical authorities. The newcomers also included many small businessmen, artisans, and skilled workers, as well as unskilled laborers, who found employment in a variety of occupations, such as construction and building maintenance. A number of these latter immigrants, following the American interest in ethnic cuisines, opened restaurants serving Turkish food. Little Istanbul. Like their Ottoman predecessors, these Turks settled in or around large urban centers, including Boston, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Minneapolis, Dallas, and Los Angeles. South Paterson, New Jersey, became known as Little Istanbul, since it contains the largest ethnic Turkish enclave in the United States. Turkish flags decorate the barber shops, bakeries, restaurants, cafes, and halal grocery stores throughout the once fabled Silk City. The former Orpheum Theater, Paterson's premier movie palace, has been transformed into a mosque that houses 1,500 worshippers. 9 other mosques are located within walking distance. Of the 149,222 residents of Paterson, over 30,000 are Muslims, and most are Turks. From 1992 to 2012, America witnessed the appearance of the Business Improvement and Development Center, the Turkish Cultural Center, the Council of Turkic American Associations, and the Amity Schools. All of these organizations are linked to the militant Fethullah Gulen, who has been called the most dangerous Islamist on planet Earth. Gulen does not reside in Istanbul or Islamabad, but rather in a remote mountain fortress in Salisbury, Pennsylvania. Gulen governs one of the world's, quote, most powerful and best-connected Muslim networks, unquote. He has been charged as being the strongest and this is in quotes, strongest and most effective Islamic fundamentalist in Turkey, unquote, an individual who camouflages his methods with a democratic and moderate image. His movement, which reportedly seeks to create a new Islamic world order, has amassed approximately 10 million supporters, many of whom contribute between 5% and 20% of their income to his movement. And his tentacles now stretch from Central Asia to the United States. With an estimated $25 billion in assets, the reclusive Islamist reportedly controls over 1,000 schools in 130 countries. Political action groups, newspapers, including Zaman, Turkey's leading daily, TV and radio holdings, universities, a massive conglomerate called KNAC Holding, and even a centralized bank. The Mountain Fortress. In 1998, Gulen fled to the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania in order to avoid prosecution on charges that he was attempting to undermine Turkey's secular government. The indictment says that Gulen has established a network of schools as a front for a sinister plan. Quote, Mr. Gulen was planning to use the young people whom he brainwashed at his own schools to set up his Islamic state, the indictment maintains. Since his arrival in Pennsylvania, U.S. State Department officials have made numerous attempts to deport him. But in 2008, a federal court ruled that Gulen was a person of, quote, extraordinary ability in the field of education, unquote, who merits permanent residency status in the United States. This ruling has struck many as odd, since Gulen reportedly lacks a high school education and speaks little or no English. Odder still is the fact that many individuals who offered testimony on Gulen's behalf were former CIA officials, including Graham Fuller and George Fetus. A private army. At his mountain fortress, Gulen is guarded by a small army of followers who obey the orders of their, and I don't know if I could pronounce that, it's a foreign word, but it's translated Master Lord, and refrain from marrying until age 50, per his instructions. The guards wear suits and ties rather than the traditional Turkish Islamic attire of cloaks and turbans. Yet, when they marry, their spouses are obliged to dress in the Islamic manner, as dictated by Gulen himself. The Salisbury property consists of a massive chalet surrounded by a recreational center, dormitories, a helicopter pad, and firing ranges. Sentries are stationed at a small hut at the main entranceway that is identified as the, quote, Golden Generation Worship and Retreat Center, unquote. Within this sentry post are plasma television screens that project high-resolution images from the security cameras throughout the 28-acre compound. Gulen purportedly lives on the third floor of the chalet and rarely makes himself available to visitors or reporters. Local residents complained of the sounds of gunfire, including fully automatic weapons coming from the Golan property, and speak of a low-flying helicopter that circles the area in search of all intruders. The FBI reportedly has been called to the scene, but no action has been taken to curtail what neighbors allege to be, quote, paramilitary activity, unquote.
Now, Lou, I have to interject. We're going after these young people who are Americans who aren't 21 years old. They won't have any automatic weapons. But why are these foreigners allowed to be up there in this compound shooting off these weapons and nothing happens?
Excellent question. It was my understanding, and maybe some listeners can correct us on this, that fully automatic weapons are not to be in the hands of American civilians at any time. However, we can research that a bit more. Semi-automatic, yes, but fully automatic, I don't think so. So how does he get away with this? Golan Exposed. Who is this mysterious Turkish pasha, and why is he sheltered in Pennsylvania? In his public statements, Golan espouses a liberal version of Sunni Hanafi Islam and promotes the Muslim notion of hizmet, or altruistic service to the common good. He has condemned terrorism and called for interfaith dialogue. He has met with Pope John Paul II, the Greek Orthodox Patriarch Bartholomeus, and Israeli Sephardic head rabbi Eliyahu Bakshi Doran. Prominent U.S. officials have lavished praise on the Turkish pasha, claiming that he is a leading voice of moderation in the Islamic world. On September 25th, 2008, former President Bill Clinton greeted an audience of Golan's disciples at the third annual friendship dinner of the Turkish Cultural Center, one of Golan's nonprofit organizations, by saying, quote, "You're contributing to the promotion of the ideals of tolerance and interfaith dialogue inspired by Fethullah Gulen and his transnational social movement," unquote. In private, Golan has said that, quote, "In order to reach the ideal Muslim society, every method and path is acceptable, including lying to people," unquote. In a sermon ad on Turkish television, he announced to his legion of followers his plan to create a new Islamic world order. And this is one long quote. "You must move in the arteries of the system without anyone noticing your existence until you reach all the power centers. Until the conditions are ripe, they, the followers, must continue like this."
And again, I'm interjecting, Elizabeth Cubitt Caverly, and if you would like to help us, you can write to us at Lou Caverly, and that's C-A-V, as in victory, E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, that P.O. Box is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, we realize that the letter long ago, more than a century ago now, between Albert Pike and Mazzini, who were the big kingpins of the Freemasonry movement, they talked about the Third World War, and they talked about pitting the clash of civilizations, country after country against each other, pitting these countries till finally the Muslim world and the Christian world would destroy each other. Then out of the ashes, they would bring this new world order. So we realize that it's not just an Islamic new world order. There is a collaboration. They are working together. And, you know, from our viewpoint, we often think that the truly intelligent elite, and there are some, they're stupid if they think they're going to continue to control all of this radical Islam, because history shows that they were a formidable force, and it was very, very, very difficult to turn them back. And now we're getting embedded, and we're not quite to the point of Europe. Sad to say, those beautiful things from England that I love, the literature, the wonderful literature, Byron, Keats, Shelley, all of these things, Wordsworth, this is going to be no more. We're going to have the brute kind of dark ages again on Earth. And much of this is because Christianity left Europe. Christianity is getting more pale here in America, too. Little churches are being closed all the time. Yet there is a remnant, and that remnant that spoke up when they called and they complained about the slurs against Mike Pence's Christianity, Joy Behar attacking his Christian faith as mental illness. I think there were 25,000. So you see, we're appealing to you for prayer and to take heart and to know that, as in that scripture that I read from Psalm 83, God is in control, and he may well reward your prayers. So now we need to pick up this story again from Crescent Moon Rising by Paul L. Williams. If you don't buy any other book, you ought to go, and we say Barnes & Noble because we'd prefer to do something in a bookstore. If you have another bookstore that carries it, fine. We'd rather not get these giants who are changing our world with all of this consolidation. We'd rather, say, a little bookstore. And I guess Barnes & Noble isn't so little, but at least it is still a brick building that you can go into and you can shop. You don't have to go online, which we really do enjoy. So really think about getting that book, Crescent Moon Rising. And now let's pick up this story about Gulen.
Once again, this is from a sermon he had on Turkish television. He announced to his legion of followers his plan to create a new Islamic world order. These are his own words. You must move in the arteries of the system without anyone noticing your existence until you reach all the power centers. Until the conditions are right, they, that is the followers, must continue like this. If they do something prematurely, the world will crush our heads.
And now, you see, they were reaching the power centers there, the sheriff, Israel's office in Broward County. But thankfully to the Lord, something has leaked out. So, you see, we still have a chance. If we have the will to want our freedom and we have the desire in our hearts for this country to repent and come under Jesus Christ again.
So Gulen is giving this warning to his followers. If they do, that is, his followers, do something prematurely, the world will crush our heads and Muslims will suffer everywhere. Like in the tragedies in Algeria, like in 1982 in Syria, like in the yearly disasters and tragedies in Egypt. The time is not yet ripe. You must wait for the time when you are complete and conditions are ripe, until we can shoulder the entire world and carry it. You must wait until such time as you have gotten all the state power, until you have brought to your side all the power of the constitutional institutions in Turkey. Until that time, any step taken would be too early, like breaking an egg without waiting the full 40 days for it to hatch. It would be like killing the chick inside. The work is to be done in confronting the world. Now I have expressed my feelings and thoughts to you all, in confidence, trusting your loyalty and secrecy. I know that when you leave here, just as you discard your empty juice boxes, you must discard the thoughts and the feelings that I expressed here. And Gulen continued, when everything was closed and all the doors were locked, our houses of Issyk, that is light, assumed a mission greater than that of older times. In the past, some of the duties of these houses were carried out by madrasas, Islamic schools, some by schools, some by tekkes, Islamic lodges. These Issyk homes had to be the schools, had to be the madrasas, had to be tekkes all at the same time. The permission did not come from the state or the state's laws or the people who govern us. The permission was given by God, who wanted his name learned and talked about, studied and discussed in those houses as it used to be in the mosques. In another sermon, Gulen proclaimed, now it is a painful spring that we live in. A nation is being born again. A nation of millions is being born, one that will live for long centuries, God willing. It is being born with its own culture, its own civilization. If giving birth to one person is so painful, the birth of millions cannot be pain-free. Naturally, we will suffer pain. It won't be easy for a nation that has accepted atheism, has accepted materialism, a nation accustomed to running away from itself, to come back riding on its horse. It will not be easy, but it is worth all our suffering and the sacrifices. And in yet another sermon, he told his followers, the philosophy of our service is that we open a house somewhere, and with the patience of a spider, we lay our web to wait for people to get caught in the web, and we teach those who do. We don't lay the web to eat or consume them, but to show them the way to their resurrection, to blow life into their dead bodies and souls, to give them a life. Assessing such statements, Ariel Cohen, a Middle East analyst with the Heritage Foundation, says, quote, it's not just a religious movement. It's the Fethullah Gulen movement. They call themselves that. So it is, you can say, a cult. It is a highly personalized movement, unquote. Cohen, who has spent years tracking the Gulen movement, adds, quote, this is clearly the world according to the Quran, the world according to Islam, the world according to Fethullah Gulen. But what he's talking about is not the caliphate, it's not the Sharia state. He calls it the New World Islamic Order.
And Paul L. Williams in Crescent Moon Rising goes on, creating the new order. Gulen, according to the Middle East Quarterly, was a student and follower of Sheikh Saidi Kurdi, 1878 to 1960, also known as Saidi Nursi, the founder of the Islamist Nur Light Movement. After Turkey's War of Independence, Kurdi demanded in an address to the new parliament that the new republic be based on Islamic principles. Gulen advanced these principles and helped to create the Justice and Democratic Party, Adalet ve Kalkinma, or AKP, which now controls the Turkish government. Abdullah Gül, Turkey's first Islamist president, is a Gulen disciple, as are Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan and Yusuf Ziya Özyen, the head of Turkey's Council of Higher Education. Under the AKP, Turkey has transformed from a secular state into a nation with 85,000 active mosques, one for every 350 citizens. The highest number per capita in the world, 90,000 imams, more imams than teachers and physicians, and thousands of state-run Islamic schools. In recent years, Turkey has witnessed a reign of terror with the random arrests of opponents of the AKP, including a dozen middle-aged liberal women who worked for the Society for Contemporary Life, an organization that provided educational services and scholarships to poor teenage girls. Hundreds of others were taken into custody during midnight raids, including army officers, renowned journalists, and artists. According to Newsweek, the arrests illustrate the power of Gulen's Tarikat, Islamic order, which now controls the government. The Gulen schools, according to Baryam Balsi, one of Gulen's leading proponents and a spokesman for the movement, the Gulen schools have been established throughout the world to expand, quote, the Islamization of Turkish nationality and the Turkification of Islam, end of quote, in order to bring about a universal caliphate ruled by Islamic law. Such a caliphate, Balsi maintains, cannot be created without the cultivation of members of an educated elite who will advance Turkish and Islamic interests in their native countries. This task, he adds, may be accomplished only by the adoption of stealthy techniques. Since the open promotion of religion is prohibited in the public schools of many countries, including the United States, such techniques, Balsi contends, mandate that the teachers and administrators of the Gulen schools indoctrinate students in the tenets of militant Islam by TEMSEL, becoming role models, rather than Tebligh, and that's spelled T-E-B-L-I-G, open proselytism. Several countries have outlawed the establishment of Gulen schools and Semats, communities, and that's spelled C-E-M-A-A-T-S, within their borders, including Russia and Uzbekistan. Even the Netherlands, a nation that embraces pluralism and tolerance, has opted to cut funding to the Gulen schools because of their threat to the social order. Over 130 Gulen-inspired schools have been established throughout the United States. Lou, does that surprise you? Even the Netherlands, where euthanasia is rampant, and we've been reading some horrible things about it, they're even smart enough not to have these schools there, but not us.
Does it surprise me that we are not smart enough? Well, I don't know. I guess it's all a sign of the atheistic indoctrination, for lack of a better word, of this whole country of ours.
Yes, I think so. We've been turned over more and more to the reprobate mind. Well, Paul L. Williams talks about these 130 Gulen-inspired schools. He says, quote, they are staffed with Turkish administrators and Turkish educators who come to the United States with H-1B visas, visas reserved for highly skilled foreign workers brought in to fill a need in the U.S. workforce. A partial listing follows. And now, we wouldn't have time to read all of these, but it will just astound you, the amount of infiltration. There are seven of these schools in Arizona, and they're called Sonora Science Academies. Sonoran, I believe that is. Capital S-O-N-O-R-A-N. Then there are five LISA, capital L-I-S-A, academies in Arkansas. There are 19 Horizon Science Academies in Ohio. And I thought that was interesting because that's a swing state. I wonder whether there's some leftist Democrat participation in that. Perhaps. 42 Harmony Science Academies in Texas. Wow, 42 of them. And see, they go under innocuous names. California, there are 13, and that includes some Magnolia Science Academies, one in Colorado, the Lotus School for Excellence, five in Florida, and they're under the term Grace Institute. Oklahoma has four schools, three in PA. I think there's one in Tennessee. There's one in North Carolina. There's one in New Mexico, three in New York. Nevada, I think, has three, New Jersey, five, Utah, one, Wisconsin, two. So we can see how much this kind of infiltration has gone on. And if you recall earlier, Lou read to you that these schools, in the philosophy of the radical Islamists, they were to be a training ground. You see, just as we read to you out of the book by Matthew Vadim from the David Horowitz Freedom Center about Obama's plan, remember, to get millions of young people into sort of a training force, kind of like a Hitler youth movement. So here again, we see this coming, but it's under Islam. Now, let's get some reactions here, Paul L. Williams says, to these schools.
Nationwide, complaints have been raised about hundreds of teachers and administrators imported from Turkey. In Ohio and Illinois, the U.S. Department of Labor is investigating union accusations that the schools have abused a special visa program and bringing in their expatriate employees. Quote, I think they have a preference for these H-1B workers, said Dr. Ronil Hira, a professor at the Rochester Institute of Technology.
And I think it's important. We could go on about more of this. The taqiyya, the practice of Islamic deception, and that's spelled T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. Now, it's important, before we get into all that, to note what Williams says about the CIA connection. Osman Nouri, the retired head of Turkish intelligence, recently alleged that the Gulen movement has served as a front for U.S. intelligence by sheltering 130 CIA agents in its schools throughout Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan. This claim collaborates the testimony of Sibel Edmonds, a former FBI translator and celebrated whistleblower. Ms. Edmonds says that Gulen and his movement began to receive vast sums of money from the CIA in the wake of the collapse of the Soviet Union. When U.S. officials realized that they could not obtain control of the massive energy resources of the newly created Russian republics because of a deep-seated suspicion of American motives, the CIA, she insists, came to view Turkey as a perfect proxy for U.S. interests because it was a NATO ally that shared the same language, culture, and religion as the other Central Asian countries. But centralized control of these republics, she points out, could only be actualized by the creation of the pan-Turkish nationalism and religion envisioned by Gulen and his followers. And so, according to Ms. Edmonds, the CIA became Gulen's partner in the creation of the new Islamic world order. The money for the Pasha's schools and settlements, she says, came not from congressionally approved funding, but rather from covert CIA operations, including narcotics trafficking, activities on the nuclear black market, weapons smuggling, and terrorist activities. Although Gulen and his defenders have refuted this testimony, a Department of Justice Inspector General's report called Ms. Edmonds' allegations credible, serious, and warranting a full and complete review. Ranking Senate Judiciary Committee members Pat Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, and Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, have offered her public backing. The CBS News program 60 Minutes launched an investigation of her statements, only to find them truthful and substantial. No one has ever disputed any of Ms. Edmonds' revelations, which she says can be verified by FBI investigative files. And Paul Williams says the problem is, despite Gulen's global ambitions, he continues to be presented as a moderate Muslim who champions the causes of tolerance, peace, and goodwill. Dalia Mogahed, the first Muslim woman to serve as a member of the White House Advisory Council on Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, says that the Gulen movement, quote, offers people a model of what is possible if a dedicated group of people work together for the good of society, end of quote. Such praise serves to illustrate the complexity of Islam in America and the problem of distinguishing a moderate from a militant Islamist. And what is this practice of Islamic deception? Let's get a little bit of that right here from Paul L. Williams.
Taqiya, the practice of Islamic deception. The 34 Gulen-inspired Harmony schools throughout the Lone Star State have been established at an annual expense to Texas taxpayers of $68 million. The schools are operated by the Cosmos Foundation, a mysterious nonprofit corporation with headquarters in Houston. In an interview with the author of this book, Sona Tareem, the superintendent of the schools and a member of the Cosmos Foundation, said, quote, "We have no ties to Fethullah Gulen or his movement," unquote. While Tareem admitted that the schools participate in the Turkish Olympiad, he expressed surprise that all his schools were constructed by Turkish construction companies that reportedly are affiliated with Gulen and his movement. Tareem insisted that very few teachers in Harmony schools hail from Turkey. Yet the Cosmos Foundation has obtained a H-1B visas for more than 1,136 Turks to come to Texas to teach in the Harmony schools. He maintained that the Harmony schools are not related in any way to the Blue Bonnet Learning Centers, which represent yet another chain of Gulen charter schools in Texas. Yet the Blue Bonnet Learning Centers were located within the Harmony schools, and information about the centers remained posted on the Harmony website until the conclusion of the interview. Tareem stated that he and all Harmony teachers are certified by the Texas Board of Educators, yet Tareem himself is not certified for his position as a school administrator. He further said that Turkish nationals are not in control of the Cosmos Foundation and the Harmony schools, yet every member of the Board of Directors for the Cosmos Foundation is a Turkish national, and all members of the Board of Directors for the Harmony schools, save one, are Turks. The CIA connection.
We have gone into that before, so we will now say that we hope your eyes are more awakened, and why don't we extradite Gulen back where he belongs, to Turkey? This thing should not continue to be there, hidden in the darkness in western Pennsylvania. We need the light of truth to shine everywhere. We know that Billy Graham, the charismatic evangelist who had the worldwide following, died at age 99. The Washington Post wrote about him. The Washington Times wrote about him. Everybody wrote about him. I think it was a mixed pattern. Only God knows when he stands before him whether he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If there were millions of people saved, I'm sure God's heart is pleased. But also, we have to point out that there is a mixed pattern. What other evangelist had a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame or would want one? I don't think Charles Spurgeon would have wanted that. And then again, it upsets us to think how closely allied with the political things that we abhor Graham was, at least by maybe they were sins of omission, but he was there on the eve of the Gulf War with his dear friend H.W. Bush. He was there after 9/11. He was in rather poor health, and he could barely make it, I guess, to the front of the National Cathedral. But again, that National Cathedral, where we see so much heresy, we see the Goddess movement, we see everything that we don't want, we see everything is sold out, and we could never sanction that illegal war in Iraq. And to have a religious figure there pretty much giving the approval sign, it hurts our hearts. So we cannot fully judge Billy Graham. I liked many things that his late wife Ruth wrote in her various books. But how I feel personally is that I admire his son, Franklin Graham, greatly. I think that he is true blue, and he took his bus for Decision for America all over the country before Trump won. And I believe it was those large gatherings of people crying out, repenting, that made God think, yes, I'll give them a little more time. Ted Nugent played a good role. He was talking in the Alex Jones show, the gun advocate. He said he probably talked to 800,000 hunters in some of those swing states like Pennsylvania and Ohio. Yes, I think he played a very good role. But the ultimate role was God. God made a miracle. We know that the news magazines already had Hillary on the cover as president. God did something wonderful. So we really do applaud Franklin Graham for stepping into the shoes of his late father and for taking a stand against radical Islam. So we ask for your prayers and support for the divided kingdom. And we really have to alert you, this new kind of almost a global ID, the records are going to be sent to communist China. They're going to hold the keys to the global ID on the social media. This is not good. The mark of the beast, as Alex Jones said, it is coming. And are you going to be ready? We never got to the miracle that happened to George Washington's soldiers, the miracle of the loaves and fishes without loaves. We'll hope to do that next time. But it was very important to bring out this Islamic connections. Tell others about the divided kingdom, and please pray for us. And we pray for each of you that God will make you very healthy and make you happy. Because I told Lou one time, we're living in hell, but heaven is holding us up. And Jesus is. Good night.